This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Now we're talking Breidich. We're talking Jeff Breidich as he exits a stage left, according to an announcement from the Rockies yesterday, out as the team's general manager. Rockies saying that Breidich and the club, quote, mutually agreed to part ways. Well, did he jump or was he pushed? 808 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joined this morning by a veteran Major League Baseball scout and KOA Rockies insider, Ed Henderson. Hey, Ed, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Gale. How are you?
Hope Springs. So did this take you at all by surprise?
It did from the standpoint of the timing of it. I felt that something significant was going to have to change within the organization during the 2021 season, and obviously, with the horrible start that the Rockies have had, it really boiled down to this for me, Gale. Was I surprised yesterday that it happened? Yes. Was I surprised that the team made this move and came to this realization during the season? Not really.
So what's next? I mean, obviously, the search is underway for a permanent GM. Apparently, according to a piece I pulled out of USA Today, that search will start after the season, but they will appoint an interim GM soon. So where does this all go?
Well, I think, obviously, you've got some big things coming up on the Rockies' horizon throughout the year, and even though the team is not doing well right now in the standings, there's a lot going on, obviously not the least of which is the All-Star game, which is coming up in a couple of months, and obviously that'll have a lot of fan attention to it. But going along with that, and from my standpoint, the most important feature of the year is always the annual MLB draft, and that's coming up in July, and that is going to be critically important for this team, as it is for every ball club. And I would tell you right now that a general manager will need to be in place soon, an interim general manager, because a lot of decisions have to be made leading up to and through the draft. And obviously the team needs help, as every team in baseball does. So there are some immediate duties that an interim general manager will have to tackle. And I suspect that probably within the next week to 10 days, if not sooner, somebody will be named to fill that interim role.
Now, as you've mentioned more than once, baseball is a game that demands results.
Right.
And you need a general manager who is up to the task. Any names come to mind?
Well, there's a gentleman that is currently in the ball club, working in the organization now, by the name of Zach Rosenthal, who is an assistant general manager currently. I think Zach would probably be a likely candidate for the interim job, and perhaps a candidate for the permanent position as well. But, you know, I would tell you that there may be a couple of other names that are out there that people may think of as somebody that could jump into the fray on a short-term basis, may not want the job on a regular basis or full-time in a full-time role. But I would say right now, in my mind, Rosenthal would be the guy that would come to mind first. There's also the vice president of scouting, Bill Schmidt. His name's been thrown around. I think, obviously, the Rockies need to get somebody in that slot fairly soon because, again, there's a lot to be done in a short amount of time. And you're not only looking at the draft coming up, Gale, but obviously they want to try to see if there's any players out there right now that would be available, either guys that have been released by other ball clubs or might be available in a trade that could, not looking down the road beyond 2021, but, you know, seeking to potentially bring some players in right now that could help the club get through the current season. So there's a lot to be done, not a lot of time, and I think the Rockies realize that if there's any hopes of salvaging this season, they need all hands on deck. So I would imagine they'll be pushing hard to get that interim role filled quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But is it too little too late? I mean, can they turn this season around?
Well, I think they can, but I don't believe that they can do it with the current cast of characters, certainly as how the current cast of players are performing. You have a lot of guys right now that are underperforming, and people only need to look at the box scores every night to see who those guys are. But the fact of the matter is that, yes, I mean, is it a bad way to start the season? Certainly. But if you're going to have a rough spot, and hopefully it's going to be a rough spot and not a series of rough spots throughout the season, you know, it's better to have it early than late. But right now they need a lot of help, and they need it quickly. Last place in the division, worst team in the National League. They can't afford to let it go too long if they have any hopes of salvaging anything in terms of the 2021 campaign, because there are too many good teams out there, and obviously in their division they have to contend with the Dodgers, with the Padres, and a couple of other clubs that have perhaps surprised people at how well they're playing, Giants being one of them. And, of course, the Giants put a thumping on the Rockies last night. So this is a situation where if they have any hopes of being able to turn this thing around, they've got to get rolling on it pretty quick. And, again, that only comes through player acquisitions and the performance of the guys that are on the field right now. I think the guys on the field could use some help, and certainly the Rockies will be looking to try to do something, I'm sure.
813 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Ed Henderson, veteran, a Major League Baseball scout, KOA Rockies insider. All right, so I'll ask the obvious question. Why are so many players underperforming? Is it because of all the consternation and the upheaval, all the uncertainty at the top?
It could be, Gail. People always want players to be able to perform at their highest level, and that's certainly from a fan standpoint, which you go out to the ballpark to see. But we all need to keep in mind, these guys are not robots. They're human beings. They have to deal with the same emotions and same issues that a lot of us do. And so I think certainly some of this disruption, some of the carryover from the Nolan trade may be part of it. But I also think it's a matter, at the end of the day, of players just need to be able to do what they do. And I don't think right now that in the case of several guys, and I'm going to pick momentarily here on Charlie Blackman, we know Charlie's a better player than what we're seeing out of him right now. But Charlie's
got to
get going.
Yeah, but he got kicked down in the order. Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie's got to get going, and we need more from the lineup in general. I think the starting pitching has been pretty good. The bullpen has had its issues, and even though that appears to be better in the last several games than it was at the start of the season, when you get beaten as badly as they did last night, there's a number of flaws that get exposed. And I think right now, Bud Black's got a lot to deal with. And again, all the more need for a new interim general manager to be in there to hopefully try to find some solutions. If the guys on the field don't have all the tools they need right now, the club's got to go out and try to find some help outside.
What's the future for Trevor Story?
Great question, Gail. I will tell you this. I think that I have felt all along that Trevor would probably be gone during the 2021 season. Now, I believe, and this is just my opinion, but I believe that with Jeff's departure, there may be hope that whoever comes into that interim role and perhaps ownership could try to work with Trevor to see if they could structure some sort of extension. But if I'm Trevor, I'm probably going to want to go and test the free agent market at the end of the season. Mm. I got to believe that, you know, the situation with him is tentative at best. And obviously the way the team's playing right now, it's not the kind of situation that you want, because you want to be able to keep this guy interested in staying with this ball club, and the team's performance is a factor there. So I would still say that I think there's a very good chance that Trevor will be gone before the end of the season, probably sometime before the trade deadline in July. But you never know. This may signal to the players that the team is headed in a different direction. Perhaps that's something that would interest Trevor, and maybe he would consider an extension or some other arrangement with the ball club to allow him to stay here.
Mm. Ed, want to get your take on this before I let you go this morning. Sean Keeler in the Denver Post, not mincing words. Headline, Jeff Breidich is gone. As long as Dick Monfort remains, Rockies aren't going anywhere, but he doesn't stop there. Breidich's decision, he writes on Monday, mutual or otherwise, to walk away from this dumpster fire, blowtorch in hand, cures some of what ails Blake Street. Just not all of it, not enough of it. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, the Monforts, as the owners, catch a lot of the heat, and quite frankly, when you're the owner of a ball club that is not doing well, that's probably part of the territory that you have to deal with.
It intensifies. Yeah.
It does intensify. There's no question about it. But I have to say that I think that as intensely loyal as Dick is to his employees, and I think that's an admirable quality in most cases, the fact of the matter is that I think this shook up a lot of people yesterday because, you know, just a few months ago when the press conference took place after the Nolan deal went down, both Jeff and Dick were present on that Zoom call, and it was kind of interesting because at that time Dick gave no indication that there was any dissatisfaction with Jeff and, in fact, said he would not consider firing him. Well, that changed, and I think the reality of it is, Gail, that this ball club, like a lot of teams in baseball, lost a ton of money last year. And ultimately, whatever background owners in baseball have, they're ultimately business people. And I think that Dick saw the handwriting on the wall here. Yeah, does he deserve some of the blame for this? Of course, he does. I mean, he's the owner, and you got to wear it. When your team is not performing well, all of those people are reporting to you. So from my standpoint, will more change be coming? Perhaps. But I think this is a kind of an interesting and different approach that Dick Monfort has shown here, and maybe this signals kind of a change of heart and a change in direction in how they're going to pursue things.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Ed Henderson, veteran Major League Baseball scout, 850 KOA Rockies insider. Thanks so much for taking the time. Always appreciate your insights, your perspectives.
It's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here, Gail, and I would just tell fans, stay tuned. This crazy ride may not be over quite yet.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
That's it. You got it.
Ed, thanks again.
My pleasure, Gail. Take care. Have a great day.
And you as well. 819 now, 1310 KFKA.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Local programming continues right after Mornings with Gail and NoCo Now, the Power Trip in the Hull Show. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, stay with us. Still got a lot to cover this morning. We're going to check in with Jared Files, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager, get, the very latest on the cone zone activity, courtesy of CDOT, throughout Northern Colorado and beyond. Jared will join us this morning at right around 8:35, but this one kind of put a little smile on my face as we've got Joe Biden, President Biden, tallying four Pinocchio ratings as president. But are those Pinocchio ratings going away? Pulled this piece out of Fox News by Joseph Wolfson, talking about the fact checkers at the Washington Post releasing their assessment of President Biden's, quote, false and misleading claims in his first 100 days in office. Now, the Post fact checking team actually, and it's a rather lengthy report. You can just jump online, find it at the Washington Post. But here's how the Washington Post, and we know their political leanings, right? This is how they opened that piece. After 4 years of a presidency that swamped Americans with a gusher of false and misleading claims, the Joe Biden era has offered a return to a more typical pattern when it comes to a commander-in-chief and his relationship with the facts, one that features a frequent spin and obfuscation or exaggeration with the occasional canard. How's that for word salad? What the heck are they saying? Well, according to this report, and this is the Pinocchio report out of the Washington Post, Biden has made 67, count them, false or misleading statements in all the speeches, interviews, tweets. There's been a dearth of tweets coming out of that administration and public statements he has made as president. That, however, and consider the source once again, pales in comparison to former President Trump, who, according to the oh-so-august Washington Post, made 511 falsehoods in his first 100 days in office. Now, the Post tallied four Pinocchio's ratings from the president. Three of them were false claims he repeated about Georgia's election reform bill. The other, well, was a rather inaccurate knock at the Trump administration, claiming that, quote, federal government contracts awarded directly to foreign companies went up 30%. Well, that actually averaged between 8.4 to about 11% under the previous president. But the claim deemed by the Post as perhaps the, and this is their words, not mine, strangest of Biden's, and it's a claim he made twice, was that he traveled 17,000 miles with Chinese President Xi Jinping when they were both vice president. The Post basically awarded President Biden three Pinocchios on this claim, saying no matter how generously the travel was measured, it never, ever even came close to 17,000 miles. How Biden made this calculation, which he also said at least once during the campaign, well, that remains pretty much a mystery. But the Post star fact checker Glenn Kessler indicated on Twitter that he would not be continuing this Pinocchio database since he, quote, learned his lesson, close quote, from the Trump presidency. Learned my lesson, he explained. That means that who knows what the next 4 years will bring. We have fact checked Biden rigorously and will continue to do so. Trump at 500 claims in 100 days was manageable. 8,000 plus was not. But once again, consider the source. 8:30 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. Stay with us. Coming up, Jared File, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager, give us an update on the roads and the cone zones and all the work that is going on when he joins us at 8:35.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. 13 days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Eight 46 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, joined by Jared Files, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. Hey, Jared, got to give you, got to give all your colleagues at CDOT a big shout out. I actually got out of the house and did something this past weekend. We headed on down to Cinzetti's. Cinzetti's is finally open again. and had a lovely dinner with my stepson and my husband and my stepson's fiance. And so we're headed back up north on I-25, and you know where I'm going with this. And as predicted, yes, we had a closure on I-25 at 402. But I'll tell you what, it was so well marked. People weren't freaking out. You know, the detour was readily recognizable, and it went off without a hitch.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Was that Sunday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay, yeah, we had it both nights. So,
yep.
But yeah, we and I don't know if you have driven on that since, but very successfully moved our traffic over. The northbound traffic is now on the new concrete, which is great. yes, it's a big move. The northbound off-ramp to 34 is a little earlier than it used to be, so people mm-hmm. need to be aware of that. We're going to improve the signage out there, but I actually had a meeting early morning yesterday in Greeley, and that exit came up a little quicker than I was used to, and yeah. So, yeah. But it is really nice. That curve that everybody was complaining about, where it's gone on the northbound side now, which is mm-hmm. lovely. And then now we're going to be working on getting that southbound traffic over onto that concrete as well, so that we can do the new southbound lanes.
And when does that all get underway with the southbound lanes?
That's underway now, but it'll probably right. the shift will actually happen probably in a week or two.
Okay. So once again, we need to have a heads up approach, with that lane shift because, well, it can throw one for a loop.
yes. Yeah. And, you know, like we keep saying, you know, for the next couple of years here, you're going to need to realize that every time you go on I-25, it may look a little different. So, mm-hmm. so just be careful out there. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind folks that this week happens to be Work Zone Safety Awareness Week. So we mm-hmm. really want to it's kind of a national push to really have people be paying attention, especially in those work zones. We have a lot of them this summer, and really want to make sure that everybody drives safely through there. I did notice when driving through that yesterday, the speed limit was significantly higher on average than the posted speed limit.
So oh, boy, back to that.
Yeah, we really need to get people to get down to that speed limit, especially in those work zones. The reason they're posted that way is because there are some turns and some changes and stuff, and those speeds are meant to keep everybody safe, not only the traveling public, but also the folks who are out there working on it. So give them a break.
You know, I was hoping that we had gotten past all that, because how many times have we talked about the fact that, well, over the past 13, 14 months, a lot of us not doing much long-distance driving, those of us working from home, for example, and, well, you know, a high spot in our day was going down to the local grocery store to pick up some mushroom soup or whatever the case may be. But we've talked about the excessive speeds that we've seen out on the roads, and unfortunately those that aren't really paying attention, perhaps the need for some remedial driver's ed. And I was hoping, as we're, you know, eking our way back to the new normal, that perhaps people would get back to driving in a somewhat normal fashion, but doesn't sound like that's the case.
Yeah, I think we, you know, people are just used to cruising on I-25, and you know, through this entire section, which really goes from Berthoud all the way up to Fort Collins, we're going to have work going for the next year or two, and two plus. And, you know, we need to keep that down, because the lanes are shifting. We've got new exits at different places and that kind of thing. And so we really need people to be paying attention to what's coming up. So, just encouraging people to really be paying attention and know that the folks out there on the grade who are out there working, they are they're wanting to get home to their families just like you and I.
Right.
And we just if everybody can play in the sandbox nicely together, we can all make it home safe and on time.
Now, you were chatting back and forth, texting with my technical producer, Ryan Kelly, behind the glass, just doing his darndest to keep me between the proverbial lines, as he does each and every day. And so I have a note from him, and it's one word with a question mark. Potholes?
Well, yeah, we're already starting to see them coming in. You know, this is a pretty heavy time for pothole repair right now. Essentially, what happens is that water gets in the pavement, freezes, and then now that everything's thawing and drying out, it just sucks that ground out of there, and you get a pothole. So we do have tons of potholes that we go out and repair all the time. We do have our customer service line, that people can call in and get that information. Know that we are out there doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls all the time to deal with potholes that are out there. We get those and we send our maintenance crews out to repair those all the time. So we're working all the time to get those done. If you do need to, you can call our customer service line, and that's 970-350-2368. And get hold of somebody to help you out there. But we do have our customer service line available all the time, so you can leave a message, and we'll get our crews out there to help as soon as we can.
Any public meetings coming up we need to be aware of?
Fortunately, we don't have any public meetings. We actually are doing a kind of a unique event tomorrow up on Highway 36 between Lyons and Estes Park. Hoping that the weather gives us a little bit of a window around 1 o'clock. We're going to do a ribbon cutting for the new structures that are out there. This is that history lesson we talked about last week, but you know, it's pretty cool that there is water flowing in a river that hasn't seen it since 1937. And so, yeah, it's cool to see the river flowing pretty well up there. And know that there's a couple new wildlife crossings up there to keep everybody safe. So it should be a fun event as we kind of cut the ribbon on that one and celebrate the success of that job, because that one not only finished early, it finished under budget and returned money back to the state, which was nice to hear. You know,
imagine that.
Yeah. The crews up there did a pretty impressive job. We actually worked with the forestry department, and all of the rock that was pulled out during the tunneling for the first tunnel that was built in the last 6 years and by CDOT, all that rock, normally we would have to haul that off and take it to the dump. Mm-hmm. Well, the forestry department gave us permission to put that where the old river was. And so we're filling in that riverbed with that rock. So we were able to save 53,000 miles of truck traveling. That saved about 133 tons of greenhouse gas is what I'm being told, which is pretty amazing. And plus the rock that was up there stays up there, which is pretty cool.
Where it belongs. Kind
of, exactly. We're tired of moving rock around. So it's kind of nice.
It is kind of a heavy lift.
It is. Well, and, you know, this is where it really is pretty cool that we can work with our federal partners like that, because that is a lot of times with the forestry department, you know, they're making sure that everything's protected up there. And this was an instance where we kind of realized this made sense for everybody, and it ended up being a real good win-win for everybody. It helped the project move quicker, it was cheaper, and also kept the rock kind of in the same area.
Never a dull moment at CDOT with CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager Jared File. Hey, shoot us that website so that we can, you know, keep on top of all of the work that's going on.
Are you talking about CoTrip so that you know what's going on? Yeah, mm-hmm. CoTrip.org. That's the site that you should be checking out anytime you're going on a big trip, especially if there's weather. Or to make sure that we don't have any projects that might be messing up your travel too. So we post that every week. That gets updated, and then it actually gets updated daily hourly by our folks up in Golden at the Eisenhower Tunnel.
Wow, very good. Good deal. Yeah. Jared Pyle, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. Thanks so much as always.
You bet, y'all. Have a great day.
You as well. 8:57 now, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. 13 days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Your home for live and local programming. So what are you going to do? Lock it right here. NoCo Now coming your way in just a few, followed by the Power Trip at 11 and the ever so popular Hall Show coming your way at noon.